I'd like to start by reading a few scriptures here. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. In John, 1 John 4:7, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. We know that we live in him and he in us because he has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love of God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. Love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world we are like him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The man who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen, and he has given us this commandment. Whoever loves God must also love his brother. And over here in Matthew 22:37, it says, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So we now read some of these verses about love. Now, what is love? What does the Bible say that love is? If I speak in tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see in a poor reflection. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love.
Yeah.
I wanted to read some of these scriptures here about love. Just to try to find out where you guys are at, you know, on the thing that especially the church out there that seems to think that gay is sin. I have a paper here that shows initiative that Mr. Dobbs is presenting to try to describe what gay people are and why that there should be laws against gay people. This initiative is in very deep, much detailed, and you list a paragraph about so long, and it's talking about sex with animals and sadomasochist type of behavior, which I don't see where that has to do with the gay people. These kind of behaviors are what, I have a little phrase that I call sins that are common to man, which I believe that there's sins that fit every category of people, and straight people do these things that this bill is trying to initiate here. But why would the Dobbs and other people in government, like Dick Van Dyke, want to present laws that would be against us? And then the way that they want to define it is some strange type of behavior. And the type of behavior that they describe is the type of behavior that is a trait of straight people as well, and any people throughout the whole world, any group of people are this. It doesn't specifically are traits of one particular group. Like, these people want to put this type of thing onto gay people. And this is the kind of legislation that if you vote for this coming fall to try to enact these things, that you're doing is you're voting for a lie. You're voting for what has been put on the record as a description of the gay lifestyle. And there are people in all lifestyles that do this kind of behavior. This isn't Christian love, and Dick Van Dyke professes to be a Christian. And I heard him make a statement that it is his Christian duty to discriminate against gays. I was on a program aired on one of the stations here. Why he would say that is really beyond me. I mean, is that really the Christian duty to discriminate against people? And he wanted it to be, I mean, specifically so he can discriminate against the gays, but he just made a blanket statement that he wanted the right as a Christian. I mean, it was his Christian duty to discriminate against all people. These people are in power. I just want you to know some of the things that maybe you're not aware of, or maybe you are aware of these. Maybe you're 100% for people like this that will speak out against whole groups of people. Seattle has a large gay community, and they're not like you've been hearing described by the churches and by these politicians. We're people just like you. And we want you to know who we are. We don't want you to believe the lies that you're taught. This is one of the main parts of my ministry, to do the best I can to present some of the issues at hand to bring our side of the story. I'm not really good at this or anything, but I'm doing what I can. I'm going to come to you, and I'm going to try to speak to you and try to show you that we're not who you've been taught all your lives that we are. We're not these people at all. It never ceases to amaze me how in the church they have such statistics of people that do drug abuse or alcoholism abuse or so many other situations which is, you know, we're very aware of that when these get really into heavy abuse that generally it leads to us a kind of a out on the street life, you know, and having to steal and do some pretty bad things to keep their habits going. And people get, you know, they find Jesus or something, and they're delivered of this, or they have a very strong effort. I mean, they're motivated to stop that kind of a life. And over the years, or sometimes very quickly, they return back to society and are very living a full life. And we have the statistics well documented, and it's a very solid base that we can look at these people, you know, over many years and see the difference in their lives. The thing that is amazing, that they put a lot of these anti-gay Christians put a lot of weight on that gay is sin, and that you know, God's the deliverer of people that are caught up in really bad sin. You know, he'll deliver them. And but the amazing thing is, why isn't he doing this? We should have quite a statistical bank of documentation of gays around the world being converted and changed and becoming straight. But this is just not the facts. One of the things that God admonishes to do is to check out the facts, you know, to search things out, to prove all things. He just doesn't say just believe blindly. He says prove all things. Yet, why isn't this flaw in Christian doctrine that, you know, that gay is sin and that Jesus can deliver everything and wash away the sins and make a new creation out of converts? Yet, that's just not the case. You have very weak statistics and evidences or documentation of gay people converting. And at best, they compile a list of these people that they cannot check out, you know, over the years, a number of years that go by, and go back to these people and find out, are they still living a straight lifestyle or something, or did they go back to gays? They don't ever report to you that these people go back to the gay lifestyle, and the statistics does not show that there are vast numbers of gays staying converted to straight. That's just not the case. And it's just simply not the case that gays that continue in a gay lifestyle will end up in the streets and will end up stealing and doing very much harm as such as these other sins that are, or these other lifestyles do. That instead, the gay lifestyle seems to prosper in the same manner that the straight lifestyle, especially those that come to Christ. And you follow the statistics out over the years, and you go out 10 years and 20 years down the road from conversion of a gay person or a straight person, and you see a steady trend to growth in Christ, to maturity. But you're not told this. The church will not bring gay people that are the majority of gay people that come to Christ into your services. They will tell you that gay is sin, and you'll sit back in your pews and clap your hands and say amen, and you'll agree with it. But yet, how many gay people came into your service and spoke for themselves and testified themselves of their lives in Christ? I'm 12 years a Christian, and all I know is every day gets better and better in Christ Jesus. Jesus is continually being with me, and he is making my life something better and better every day. When I look at the testimony of my life and compare it with the testimony of a straight Christian, I don't know where the difference is. I don't know what I'm supposed to be looking at to see the difference. Generally speaking, you're taught that if a gay does not change to straight, he's still a sinner and he did not come to Christ. He's believing a lie if he came to Christ. That a gay person cannot be saved. These are the things that you're being taught. But I'm coming here and telling you that this just isn't so. Ask your pastors to bring in gays that are Christians and have been Christians for a while to give their testimonies. Are you going to believe what your pastor may say or what you have been taught, that gays would be of the devil and they would be teaching lies, or that they believe lies or something like that? That's calling Jesus a liar. As I read in the scriptures earlier, that Jesus died for everybody, all that came to him. No exceptions. It's kind of interesting, you know, it's just how so many people can believe that gay people can't come to Christ and stay gay. And they can't understand it. They have to say they're not saved, or they didn't mean it or something. How could your pastor tell you that I didn't mean it? And how could your pastor tell everybody in the gay community that has come to Christ that they didn't mean it? That something was different about their conversion. They had some other motive or something. It wasn't like when you came to Christ, when you put your sins on the table before Christ and invited him into your heart. Somehow, it must be different. I tell you, it's not different. We came to Christ the same way that you came to Christ. And we put our sins before Christ at his feet on the cross. And his blood was shed for us too. And they cover our sins and they wash us of sin. The big question that you should have in your mind is why Jesus Christ is not washing away what you believe to be the sin of a gay lifestyle. Don't you ask questions like that? Don't you ask, like, you could say that if there's 10% of gay people, which the population is gay people, which is very well accepted, and you look at this nation in the United States, we're, you know, I don't know what it is exactly, 250 to 280 or so, 290 million people or something, it won't be too long that we could say that there's 30 million gay people in the United States. If there's 30 million gay people in the United States, those gay people have parents. It's a simple problem of addition. They have two parents, 30 and 30 is 60. They probably have one other brother and sister. They probably have more, but if they had one other brother or sister, we're talking about there's 120 million people that are directly affected by anti-gay preaching. When you preach against gay pastors, who, you know, there's a big thing about how there's such an attack on the family. Why are you so blind? Do you know where that attack is coming from? Just think about it. 120 people in this United States of America, you are condemning because you condemn their sons. Therefore, you make their lives miserable. You make the families disown their sons or believe that their sons or daughters have got to convert to be straight, to be saved. So here the parents are going to be living perhaps the rest of their lives knowing their sons and daughters aren't saved because they continue in the lifestyle. And they have to hear how the Christians attack it. They watch the same Christian programs as you do and have to hear the same thing. So who is the attacker of the family? It's these pastors that are preaching gay is sin. And the effects of that goes on into and affects 120 million people. 30 million they condemn to hell. And 60 million are parents that they're causing to live in agony and misery because their sons and daughters are gay, and that means they're going to hell and they got to disown them. That's their Christian duty. They can't possibly accept it because they'll go to hell or they'll something terrible about their faith will happen. When you add their brothers and sisters, you got to add the numbers. If you sit there and just attack gay people and don't even have the conception that they're involved a considerable large number of people, then are you proving all things to the glory of God? I say you're not. You're not looking at facts. If the facts say that there are 120 million people that's being affected by preaching against gay people and it is destroying families, how many of those families are getting destroyed? I don't have statistics on that because many of the families eventually accept their sons and daughters. But a lot of them go on through the years and they feel very badly that their sons and daughters are going to hell because there's no change. And the fact that many of their sons and daughters have to live in secret. The parents don't even really know them. And this is called Christian love. But that's not love. I read to you some of the things what love are, and love doesn't do that. I'd like to take time to invite those that do not know Christ as their Savior to invite him as his Savior. If you'd like to know him, it's just a simple little prayer you pray if you're asking him to save you. You see, he came to this planet 2,000 years ago to die for you because he was able to die. He was able to pay the price for your sin. We can't pay the price for our sin, and we needed him to come and do that. And he loved us so much that he came and he died, and the blood that he shed washed us of our sins. If we believe on him, and if we believe that he is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, that he died and that he rose on the third day, and now is with God, our Father, in heaven. It's simple. You just pray this prayer. Say, "Dear Lord, I know that I'm a sinner, and I know that you're the Son of God. Please come into my heart and save me. And make me a new creation, Lord, and make something beautiful out of my life. Thank you, Lord." Just a simple prayer like that, or pray it in your own words. Just ask Jesus to come in. He wants to be your friend. He loves you. He came to earth because he loves you. I'd like to thank you for joining me tonight, and I am planning to start home Bible study, depending on how many people are interested to what categories that we'll study under. I am willing to have a group of straight people that are interested in learning something more. They're not satisfied with the teaching they are or have been given on this subject. Feel free to call or write And I'll get back with you if it looks like that I could start a study like this. Now, if you're just planning to come and condemn me, or if you're planning to come and to preach to me that gay is sin, I don't want you to come. I'll ask you to leave I'll talk to you on the telephone, and I'll say, no, I can't have you. And if you still manage to get on into my house or something, I will have to ask you to leave, because I'm not trying to change you. If you want to believe that you're right and that gay is sin, and I don't want you to try to change me either, because you're not right. I'm more interested in those that are finding that there is something that is that they really want to hear. They're hearing something, and they want to know more, and they have a real earnest in their heart to seek out the truth. And I also am talking to gay people that are listening, that you may have not wanted to go to a church or something for the reasons that you've been condemned so much, or you've had such a problem in the church, and you just don't want it. You just can't go into a church. It's just too much to think about going into a gay church or something. But you still want to know, you still want to, you know, study the Word of God, or this program means something to you, and please call, and we'll start a Bible study, and maybe we can answer a lot of questions. I appreciate all that have tuned in, and hope to see you again. And write and tell me how you think and feel about this program.